Nate came and confessed that he was learning Greek. Greek is a very difficult language. Nate is very smart. He wouldn't be working in the areas of government that he was unless they recognized his abilities. They do. But the key to learning a difficult language like Greek is repetition. One of my favorite sayings in class is to get them to chant. Repetition is the key to learning. The key to learning is repetition. And they say that over and over and over. Oh, and they're going to die tomorrow. Because tomorrow is an exam. And the exam is so bad that I decided this year I was going to give the exam out, let them see it before they even take it, because none of them were ready for it. And they're going to have to repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat over and over. You know that Rosetta Stone? I don't know how that can work, because I know one thing. When you're learning a language, it isn't that easy. When you're learning Greek, it'll take them down. And you got to keep repeating and got to keep repeating, because repetition is key. Well, Pastor Dave, why in the wide world are you talking about that? Because I want you to notice, as we examine 9:23 and following through 18, Paul has repeated some things and people don't pay attention. By the way, the book of Hebrews, simply put, how big picture do you remember the book of Hebrews? One word, better. Everything that Christ did is better. Imagine how wonderful the old covenant was, for God communicated with His people, told him of His holiness, His love. But when Jesus Christ came, He canceled that old covenant. Because what Jesus did was so far greater. The sin of these people was their temptation to go back to the old system. They were tempted to retreat. They had the reproach of Christ. And they didn't like the buffeting that they were getting from their fellow people. So they were going to retreat, go back to the old covenant. And He's issued some stiff warnings, hasn't He? Don't you dare go back to the Old Testament and its system, even for a temporary retreat. The writer has used some things in word that would get any Jewish person upset. He has called the old covenant weak and useless. That it was shadow, obsolete, old, merely a copy. And that's what he's going to do here. In comparison to what Jesus Christ did, all of the old covenant is weak, useless, shadow, copy. How can you retreat to the old? But there are a lot of Christians that want to go back to the old covenant. They like that eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If that were true, we'd all be dead. We could all stone one another. There is mercy in the new covenant that was not in the old. And the writer is going to signal by repetition something that's very important for Christians to realize. Repetition is the key to learning. The key to learning is repetition. And these people needed to know. And there's something repeated in these verses from 10:23. And by the way, Hebrews corrects a lot of bad things. You know, we have a nursery, Nate. Do you want to take the baby into the nursery? It's a good nursery. Honest. It's up to you all if you want to do it. We have paid nursery staff. It's okay. You can hold the baby. Every time I went candidating at a church, Rachel, who just got married to the airborne guy, Ben, they'd always put us in the back of the plane, because all the way flying back from candidating, she would cry and scream And everybody around us would like to shove us off the plane because of that. I remember then one time, Josh, we were candidating at the seminary, and I'll never forget, we landed at LAX, and right as we landed, Josh had projectile vomiting. And you know what? We were the first off the plane because we didn't want anybody to see the evidence, but they never used that plane for weeks after that. Anyway, sorry. I remember those days. There is something repeated here that is important. When the Bible repeats something, you better pick up on it. Do you see what is repeated here? There are two phrases that are repeated. This section is so important. It says this. It says this. There is copy. Often, and then once. Look at this in verse 23 and 24. Copy. What's the old covenant? It's a copy. Do you know what they're finding out? All of the gold in Fort Knox. You know what they think? The gold's missing. And when you drill down into the bars, you know what they're finding out? They're titanium. The real gold is gone, and they've coated it lightly with gold. And when you drill into it, they found out in Clinton's era, they sent China some gold. And when they drilled into it, they found out that they had given China, no kidding, the Chinese, good to watch Americans, drilled into the gold and found out that a little bit of gold was on the surface, and we had given them titanium bars. And they want to know where the gold is, and we haven't answered them to this day. Where is the gold? We gave them copies! Titanium, by the way, in its atomic structure and weight, I guess, is so close to gold that you can fool it unless you drill into it. Where's the gold? Well, we gave them copies. Look at this. Verse 23. The old covenant is a copy. All of the old covenant is a copy. Verse 24. Christ did not enter with a copy. Nor was it that he should offer himself often. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often. So what do we have in theology? We have people that dress up in black robes. And they get this fancy hat. And they have these gold chains that swing. And they tell you that when they raise the cup and a wafer, that they're re-offering Jesus Christ, and that it actually becomes the body and blood. Well, I want to know, have they read the book of Hebrews? With all due respect, the Word of God corrects a lot of bad theology. I have problems with the religious leadership, not with the precious people that don't know any better, because they won't let them usually read the Word of God. You have to go to the priest who will tell you what to think. At this church, you go to the Word of God. Amen. You don't have to listen to the preacher. You go to the Word of God and see what it says. We stick to that. Look what it says. Otherwise, he would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, verse 26, what? Once. That's it. When Christ did his sacrifice, the writer says, it is finished. There is no such thing. You know, when the person raises the wafer and the cup, you know what he's got after he raises it? Wine or grape juice? And a piece of flour or whatever it is. That's all he's got when it's here or when he raises it. There's no magic in it. There's no magic. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies, verse 23, of these things in the heavens to be cleansed with these things. You know what the old, you know everything you saw in the temple and the tabernacle? Do you know what the writer calls it? Copies. They had to be cleansed with animal blood because they were merely symbolizing what Christ would do in the real tabernacle in heaven. That's why quit searching for the ark. Quit searching for all of this. It doesn't, you don't need it. The ark is merely a box. It's a copy. Nor was it that he should, verse 25, offer himself often. As the high priest enters the holy place year by year by year. And I've told you, what must the ark have looked like after centuries of blood being placed on the lid? And the priest kept doing that. And because he had to repeat it, the writer says, repetition means this. It never was effectual. It never did what it was supposed to do. Because if it did, they wouldn't have to repeat it. And that's the logic here. Christ once, forever. There will be no more sacrifice. It's finished. Verse 26, otherwise he would have needed to suffer often. But now, boy, you ought to get that word. That's another one that you got to watch for, because it's contrasting the beginning of verse 26 with the rest of verse 26. And the old system, they had to offer often. But now, in the new covenant, at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifest to put away sin by his own sacrifice, inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die. There's that term again. Once. How many times did Jesus die? How many times does he die in churches throughout America that don't pay attention to the Word of God? Quite often. It's not in accordance with what the Word says. Therefore, it must be rejected. So Christ also, verse 28, having been offered how many times? So what's the word that you keep seeing? Once, once versus often. The old covenant is inferior. Why? They had to keep doing it, and it never did what they had to keep doing. They served a copy, a shadow, a picture of what was coming, and Christ came. He offered himself once. And that was all. His blood was perfectly, what they call in theology, effectual. You don't need anything else but the blood of Jesus Christ. And so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time for salvation without any reference to sin. Listen to me. When Jesus Christ offered His blood on the cross, He's not coming back for anything but to take those who are entirely forgiven to be with Him. Sin is no longer an issue. It was settled at the cross. There are those that want to see all sorts of animal sacrifice. The Jewish people are all trying, wanting to see animal sacrifice. And we now know from the book of Hebrews, it cannot do a thing. It is a useless killing of animals. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, took care of all of the sins before Him and all of the sins after Him. That sin problem is entirely finished once for all. To those who eagerly await Him, look at verse 10:1. For the law has only a shadow. Now that's an amazing statement for a guy that's a Jewish writer. He lived touching the law blameless. He thought the law was the end all and be all. As good as the law was in showing God's holiness, game over. It was only a shadow. It was a shadow of what? Of good things to come. Did you see that? Of good things to come? You ain't seen nothing yet. You know what it says in the book of Ephesians? Paul says that in the ages to come... Go to Ephesians chapter 2 for 1 second. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul, in another book that he wrote, says this. 2:7 of Ephesians. You're going to get some surprises. It's not a surprise about sin. Jesus took that on His cross. He nailed your sins to the cross. But look what He said. Christ is raised up, and He's coming back in order that in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Do you know what that's saying? You're going to be on display. And He's going to do marvelous, wonderful things for you, and He's going to show your grace. And who's He going to show it to? My guess would be all the creation that He's made that we don't know about, angels or whatever, and including the demons that rebelled. You see these fallen creatures? I redeemed them. And He will lavish us with His mercy and put on display as that whom He has glorified to the image of His Son. And we will be shown things that we cannot even imagine because of what Jesus Christ did. To go back to the old covenant is absolutely foolish on the part of these people. They had been raised in it, but they needed to wake up that it was nothing but shadow and dust. That it is the reality of Jesus and the new covenant that is the true meaning of all of it. And not the very form of things. The very form of things, those sacrifices in the old covenant, can never, never, never say never. That's what I tell them in the language class. Nate's reminding me of these things. Never say never in language. I just did, but that, you know what I mean. Because language, but listen, there will be no exception in the new covenant. These sacrifices in the old covenant can never, by the same sacrifice year by year, which they offer continually, do anything to make you perfect in drawing near to God. Did you know that? I often wonder about theology when they talk about, oh, if we couldn't just get animal sacrifice going again. Whoa, 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 whoa. They can never do anything to make the offerer perfect. All those animals died and it never accomplished anything except to remind them without the shedding of blood, and that they would soon realize it was Jesus Himself that would offer the true cleansing. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered because the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have consciousness of sin? Can you imagine being in the old covenant? I've confessed my sins on this animal. Okay, a couple days later, I got to go confess my sins on this another animal again. A couple days, I got to go confess my sin on this. Every year over and over again, they never did what they were supposed to do. Listen to me. Christ once for all took all of your sins, past, present, and future, and placed that upon Himself. He's taken care of sin. Hebrews said sin is taken care of. You say, well, Pastor Dave, I still struggle with sin. Well, we're to walk in the Spirit and we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh, but the Lord took care of those sins. And out of thankfulness to Him, we need to resist the nature that we still have, but they are paid for. As a matter of fact, Colossians said that there was a certificate of condemnation on us all in Colossians chapter 2. You know how they crucified a criminal in Rome? They would crucify the person and put a piece of paper, a bill of execution on the man or woman's cross that listed the sin or the breaking of whatever rule he had done or she had done to be crucified. And it says in Colossians, He took that certificate of debt, of that certificate of execution, and He took it off your cross. Everything that you've done. And once for all, nailed it to His own cross. Who would want to go back to an old system where they never got what they wanted? They never got the forgiveness and the restoration and the cleansing because it all pointed toward Christ.
But in those sacrifices, verse 3, there is a reminder of sin year by year. Then he says this in verse 4, For it is impossible for the bulls and of goats to take away sin. What did these believers want to do? They wanted to go back to the old covenant. Hide. They were being persecuted because of the reproach of Christ. Well, we'll go back to the temple for a while. We'll hide. We'll offer a few sacrifices. We'll pretend to be good, kosher participants. You know what happens? He says here, in verse 4, it is impossible. What was their temptation in the book of Hebrews? To retreat. To forsake the Lord. To go back. To offer sacrifice. That's going to become very important. We're out of time because here in verse 26, when we get there, I want you to see something. For if we sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, you know he's not talking about any sin there? When we get to verse 26, he's not talking about any sin. If I go and gamble in Vegas, he's not talking about that. You know what he's talking about? If you deliberately forsake the Lord Jesus Christ, after you've received knowledge of Him, that's the most dangerous, fatal thing you can ever do. The willful sinning, we're going to find out, is retreating from Christ. And that is all that he's talking about. And that is the only thing that he is talking about when we get